Hi, this is Ali Ciardo in the Photo Field Notes podcast, and I'm really excited about my episode today. My interview is with Jessica Weinstock, and shout out to my friend Jess McCroskey because she's the one who reached out to me and recommended that I interview Jessica. And just a quick note to all of you, if you admire a photographer, you know a photographer, or you are a photographer with a story to tell, tips to share, I'd love to hear from you. You can message me at Photo Field Notes on Instagram. That's probably the best way to get a hold of me quickly. And just let me know. Oh, actually, you can go to photofieldnotes.com too. There's a contact form there if you are interested in being on the podcast or if you want to recommend someone. All right, this is a really great episode for, it's particularly focused on photographers who want to work with or who do work with children and families, but I think that a lot of these tips are actually going to apply across other categories too, and some of these are mind-blowing tips that have already changed things that I'm doing in my business. So I'm excited about what Jessica is sharing in this interview, and I think you're going to love it. So let's get into the episode today.
Welcome to the Photo Field Notes Podcast, where you'll find stories, tips, and inspiration from professional photographers to get you taking action in your own business and making your business dreams a reality.
I'm here today with Jessica Weinstock from Jessica Weinstock Photography, and she also runs the Happy Togs community. And we've got a lot of great stuff to jump into, but I always like to start with the story, how you got into photography, how it became this job for you. So let's just start and hear your story, Jess.
Well, hello. Thanks for having me. So for me, my story, I would say it's kind of somewhat similar to what a lot of women in the industry's story is. My oldest is 10, and when she was a baby, this kind of photography was just kind of starting. So the whole non-JCPenney, non-box store photography was just kind of starting. They had those forums out called like I Love Photography and things like iVillage, things like that were out. And some kind of familiar names in the industry were all kind of starting about the same time. I got my first DSLR when she was about one, and I was like, oh, this is going to be so easy. I'm going to have a business. Like, this is going to be awesome. I was a full-time veterinary technician at the time, and actually was for about 15 years, but it was kind of something that I knew that I wasn't good enough to be a business at that point, but I just wanted to try. So all of my free time, till she was about four, I just practiced, grabbed friends, grabbed, you know, any kid I could find and just practiced. YouTube was my best friend. But when she was about four, 2012, 11, I don't know what years are.
Whatever math happens.
Whatever. Then I really started to really push the business aspect. I wanted to make sure that my skill level was good. I wasn't charging people. I wasn't that at that point yet. But, you know, I wanted to make sure my business end was also where it needed to be. So it kind of took me several years to kind of get to the point I wanted to be. But yeah, that was a very long explanation. But it kind of just naturally progressed over time. And, you know, I knew what my skill level needed to actually continue to build, even at that point, because who looks at their work 6 years ago and is like, ooh, that's so good.
Right.
But yeah, it just kind of naturally progressed. And that's how it went.
So you basically, by the time you made it a business, you had a full portfolio of work because you had photographed so many friends and so many different people that you were like ready to go.
Yeah.
So, and then at that point, you basically just said, you know what, heck, I'm here. I'm going to do it. Let's start charging.
Yep. I mean, photography's always been kind of something that I've been interested in. I was in yearbook in high school. I was an editor, photographer in high school. Then I went on to be a photographer at Six Flags, the amusement park.
Nice. So you were a professional photographer.
Yeah. It was kind of, I mean, not that cool, but it was kind of just something that I've always had a passion for, that and animals. But as I started having children, being able to make my own schedule was something that was very important to me. Being able to, you know, financially support my family, but, you know, financially support my family was the biggest thing. And at that point in my business, when I was just rolling it out, that was definitely not the case. So I kind of did it at the same time as being a full-time veterinary technician. Of course, a lot of my time and my hours and my efforts and everything was spent trying to perfect my photography craft and get, and, you know, get my name out there, my networking going, blah, blah, blah. So that was a big thing to transition over to a full-time photographer. It was a gradual process.
So when did you, so you are full-time now. So when did you actually leave the other job?
5 years ago.
Okay. So it didn't take too long then.
No. So like about a year, year and a half, 2 years tops.
Nice. So what do you think contributed to your ability? Because that's actually pretty fast. I think a lot of people, especially because you don't do weddings, right?
No.
Right. So a lot of people, it takes a lot longer than that. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, granted, I should say you were doing this for years, just building your portfolio. Right.
Like, build my portfolio and my skill level and everything.
So what do you attribute to your ability then to take it from not actually a business to being your full-time, being able to quit that job? What do you attribute to being able to make that leap relatively quickly from the time you started?
It's being a smart businesswoman is the main thing. You can be the best, awesomest, coolest, best skill level photographer out there and be not so savvy on the business end, and you're not going to make a profit.
What do you think you do differently that some people aren't doing?
I asked myself, the first maybe 6 months, year, I was like, oh, I'm not good enough to charge. And that's like the main caveat that a lot of these photographers in the, you know, the hurdle that they run into is, I'm not good enough to charge that. But you have to think of it, you have to think of it business forward. You have to think of it as, I need, this is not just a part-time side gig where I'm making extra money. This is, I need to pay my bills. I need to feed my family. I need to actually make a profit to live on. So very quick after that year of me charging like $250 for a family session, I was like, this isn't going to work. especially since, you know, I was already working full-time as a vet tech, charging $250 for a family session. It's taking all that time away from my kids that I've already don't have a lot of time for. I was like, nope. And I just, boom, I didn't do any gradual small increases. I just, boom, stuck them up there.
Well, so what happened next? So you raised your prices dramatically. And now are you, what's your general model? Are you doing in-person sales? Are you doing digitals? Are you doing a combination?
So for me, I totally commend people who do IPS, in-person sales and products. But for me in my life, it just doesn't work for me.
Because you have three young kids, right?
I have three young kids, 10, 6, and 4, one of which is ADHD. So he takes a lot of my time. But, and they're all three in different schools. So.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. So I do all inclusive. And do you want to know what I charge?
If you're willing to share, go for
it. Yeah. So like a full session is $700, which in my area, in the Chicagoland burbs, that's like high end mid range, right? There's several people around here that, you know, charge $1,200 for an all inclusive session, whatever. And it is my plan to raise my prices about $100-$150 this coming year. I haven't raised my prices in several years, but as we know, the economy changes, cost of living goes up. So there's really, you know, there's nothing wrong with giving yourself a raise to compensate.
That's excellent. I mean, that's obvious, but that's excellent. I was just looking at the cost of daycare has gone up $50 a week in the last 2 years. It's like insane how much it's gone up. So yeah, of course we should be compensating ourselves.
The cost of daycare too was a very major reason why I pushed myself business-wise to make my photography job, my photography career full-time and profitable, because at the time I had two kids. I was literally working as a vet tech to pay for daycare. Why would I want to do, like, why would anyone want to do that? Sure. Why would you have someone else be with your children all day when, you know, you're just paying for them to be in daycare? Which I think is a lot of people's, you know, issues that they have with working. Whatnot, but.
So tell me then the honest story. When you raised your prices significantly, like, you know, not just doubled, but like, what is that? I'm terrible at math, triple. So truly, was it like, oh, great, everyone's coming out of the woodwork to do it? Like, what did that actually look like?
At the time, I was still relatively new in my business, like I said. I didn't have the hugest network of clients that were, you know, I was still like part-time, basically. I still had a good handful of clients. Two of those clients out of all of them had stayed with me. So that is also, you know, that's a downside to raising your prices.
But that's good to know that that's the reality.
You are clients. But if you think about it, those clients that you've lost, did they actually value your work, or did they value your business to begin with? Or were they just coming to you because you were, you know, cheap? are more affordable. So that's kind of the mindset I went into it as. I'm like, well, you know I'm going to have to get a whole new network of clients, which I did. And now, you know, I book out a year in advance.
Wow.
So for the most part, you know, it's pretty, you know, I open my booking for the next year and I book up within a day or two. I mean, there's a lot obviously that goes into it as far as networking and campaigning and advertisements and stuff like that. But, you know, I'm to a point in my business where none of that mattered in the past, which I think is a lot of people's, you know, hesitation to raising prices is, oh, it's going to be so hard. But a lot of people don't understand that to really make your photography career profitable and work, it's a daily hustle. It's a daily hustle to, you know, get those emails out, to network, you know, all this stuff that goes into this business. It is a daily hustle.
So I want to get into a couple different areas from there. So one, I want to talk about kind of where they're coming from. It sounds like you have an email list, you're emailing at least past clients at the very least, and then doing some awesome marketing things. Second, I want to know from a kind of just like a basic how it works. So because I've talked to other people who do more of the like put out all your pre-planned session dates at once, make people fight over them, whatever that looks like. Mm-hmm. And right now I have my calendar and it's set up and I have my pre-planned and they're limited. But generally if someone comes and they're like, hey, I want to go, I'll be like, well, here's my calendar, like pick a date. So tell me a little bit more about what that looks like with them actually, like you're announcing your sessions on a single day for the next year.
Yeah. So, I mean, some people do what's called block scheduling where they'll like, you know, announce their spring or their summer or their fall. I did that, but it didn't seem to work too well for me. I wasn't getting the number of bookings that I was wanting from those blocks. So for me, at the beginning of the year, like January, the first week of January, I will release my, like for next year, let's say 2019. For me, I like to only work 2 weekends a month. Some people like don't work any weekends, but for me, being realistic with most people's lives, some people need a weekend. For me, my weekends are more expensive than my weekdays. So it kind of sways people to be like, oh, a weekday is fine. Like they, and I'd rather work a weekday than a weekend. So I typically work Monday, Wednesday, Fridays for the weekdays. And then I will coincide that weekend to line up with that Friday. So then I have a good like weekend off, you know, type of thing. And I try to only work Sunday night on a weekend.
Oh, that's smart. Yeah. You're not breaking up. If you want to travel, you're not breaking up your weekend with a Saturday night.
Something or like, you know, go to a day trip somewhere with my family. Like, it's not like I have to get home because there's a session.
Nice. So Saturdays are your time.
So Saturdays, but you know, I do reserve those if there happens to be a rain reschedule. Like, I know I have that day open.
Can happen. Yeah.
Yes. I mean, it does happen quite a bit.
Yeah. Well, true. Yeah. Midwest.
I'll release that. I'll say, you know, I make my clients realize that these, especially weekend dates, are going to go quick. And they know that. And I pre-warn people that I'm going to open it, say, January 5th at 8 p.m. And I release that to my email list, which is all my past clients. So my past clients get first dibs on any type of session for the next year. And these are, you know, past clients that I've seen within the last 2 years, we'll say, because not every client comes every year. And then I'll release it and I'll say, you know, weekends go first. And then I'll say, please send me 2 dates, like look at your calendar, send me 2 dates on a Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or a weekend that work for you. And then I just email them back, here's your date out of the 2 you picked, and we go from there. And it works pretty well.
That's a good idea. Yeah. So then you are emailing your past clients, so that's your email list. Where else are people finding you? What do you find is generally bringing people in, the people who you want?
My SEO. My search engine optimization is pretty top notch. I really, really, really hone in when I'm teaching a workshop or at a conference about web presence, because a lot of people, one, don't know anything about it. A lot of photographers don't. Nothing. And my number one cold inquiry where someone's just searching on the web is Google and my search engine. So a search engine optimization. So that is so key. And a lot of people don't even know where to start. It's very overwhelming. But getting that kind of stuff really, really perfected on your website is super key. It's better ads or anything I've ever done.
Totally. And I agree. And I think for a lot of people, it's kind of like one thing or the other. They're either like all in on SEO or they're like, no, because they're not ranking on SEO. But for those of you, for listeners, if you want to learn more about getting started with SEO, I do actually have a podcast episode about it. My interview with Get Found with Fuse, she's got a tons of great tips on getting started. So you can search like SEO on photofieldnotes.com and you can find that episode and get some quick tips to get going. So SEO, you're definitely the email thing is, I mean, that's just smart business is to keep people organized in an email list so that you can email them.
My email list too, I'm not one to like, you know, send a weekly email. Like I think that it gets very annoying to clients. So I just send when I'm opening up bookings or if I have a special mini session date, like, you know, for bookings for that.
But you'll give them a warning a couple days ahead of time.
A couple days ahead of time. So they know, and I'll usually say, you know, set your alarms, things like that. Just so they know and they're fully aware.
And then you're managing it by, you said they're just emailing you with the dates that they want, or do you have like a system that they're actually booking through?
For me, it's been working. They just email me the date. I know that their software, like what, Acuity, is that one?
Acuity. I use Schedule Once. It's like $5 a month. It's really nice.
Oh, yeah. That's how I signed up with this. yeah, it was very convenient. Yeah, things like that. I'm probably going to look into something like that for next year just to see how it goes. And then I also use 17 Hats for my booking, you know, my behind the scenes software. So once they send me the date and they okay it, then I send them like a booking through that. And then they can do the contract and all that stuff through it.
Nice. So you'll have them like pay a deposit to reserve the date.
Yeah, I usually do half down.
Nice. Cool. All right. Well, that's a good tip. All right. I like that. And that's something I never even really thought about doing is like, why not email? It seems so obvious. Like, why not email past clients and give them first dibs and remind them? Because sometimes people get busy.
No.
I do that.
Yeah.
I get busy and I'm like, oh, I should do that sometime. But if it's it's a date and it feels like it's fleeting and you could lose it, it's like, yeah, that's more motivation to go ahead and do it. Okay. Let's get into a little tiny bit about actually photographing families or photographing young kids, because so many people, talked to my friend Jess, who actually recommended I talk to you, she really focuses on like families and young kids and newborns. And I tend to focus, I do families too, but I tend to focus more on like weddings and engagements.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, but with that, I still am going to get families either way.
Yeah, totally.
And so we talk about how like maybe there's some people who are like young kid people.
Yeah.
And some people who are like, ooh, like I can do it and I've got my tricks, but it can be more of a struggle. So what have you, are there any little quick tips that you're willing to share that you've picked up or made up or, you know, figured out over the years that make photographing young kids less intimidating?
Right. So I would say probably 95% of my clientele for family sessions have children under 8.
Mm.
Usually it's younger than that even. And, you know, I send a questionnaire beforehand, before a family session, and I say, are there any, you know, what are some things that you, that make your children smile or laugh or whatever? And the parents will give me a couple tips, but I typically don't even follow those for the most part, because they're at a session, they're outside most of the time, they're with the stranger who's, you know, me. A lot of things aren't going to really work that typically work at home. But it's still nice to know, because obviously, you know, that age 1 to 3, and especially boys, there's really nothing that works except trying to be engaging with them. But for me, what I always go to is from the get-go, I am asking those children questions the entire session. I am asking them, what's their favorite food? What's their favorite movie? What's their favorite color? Then I'll go into, who has the stinkiest feet in the family? Who has the stinkiest farts? Who has the loudest burps? I'm going on. And that's like, you know, making them laugh. And then, you know, I'll ask that, what's your favorite food? And they'll be like, pizza. And I'm like, ooh, you like booger pizza?
Just that, silly.
You know, silly stuff. And that just gets them going the whole time. I also have one of those Minion fart blaster guns.
That's great.
Farts the whole time. That's huge. It's huge. I mean, every once in a while, the kid will be like, I know what that is. And it's not that funny, but I'll pretend I'm farting with it. I'll press the button. They think it's so funny. Also, I should mention that I'm a very emotive, connective type photographer. So a lot of times I'm not having families pose just to smile at me. I want them to connect with each other. So these things help quite a bit for that, but they also help if you're wanting everyone to look at the camera and smile too, because, you know, they're laughing. I also get a 3-foot feather duster. A wool feather duster, because you can stand back and then the little ones, like the babies, you can tickle their face with it. It works most of the time.
That's great. Yeah, like 3 feet long, so you're far enough back and you can get them and make them look, because babies are the hardest, obviously, to make babies them look. Hard. That's smart.
And I also have one of those like little animal things on my camera that squeaks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, see, there's so many tricks, because every age is going to be different and boys versus girls will be different. So,
I mean, go ahead.
How do you prepare families for that? So first of all, like the fact, I'm sure they see in your portfolio that it's the more like natural, interactive. But then also, so A, how do you prepare them for just knowing what to expect, so they're not like, okay, we want every picture to be perfectly smiling. And then B, do you prepare them for the fart machine, or do you just go with it?
So let me hit the fart machine first. So some families are very conservative.
Right.
And they're not, like, they don't say fart. Like, so I'll ask, like, I'll kind of say, like, do you say fart or poot? Or, like, what do you say? So I kind of, especially if it's a client I know, like, I've known in the past, like, I kind of already know what to expect with them. But if it's a new client, I kind of just feel them out for a few minutes first to see kind of what kind of family it is.
Yeah. That's okay. That's good, because I was like, I don't know if every family, I was thinking exactly that, like, I don't know if every family I've worked with would be like, all right, fart machine, let's go. Yeah. And they'd be like, oh my gosh, what is this? But some would love it.
Typically, if it's kind of like a more stuffy family, we'll say, typically it always works, because I'm just like going crazy, being silly the whole time. And they're like, oh, that's so funny. Like, you know, they eventually kind of break.
Yeah. Awesome.
Okay. So preparing my families. So time and time again in groups, I see people say, but I showed up and all they want is looking at the camera photos. And I'm like, well, you know, you need to create a sense of expectation from minute one. So for me, obviously someone has seen my, I would hope someone has seen my portfolio beforehand. Sometimes that's not always the case. Sometimes clients or potential clients think that you're a photographer, you can shoot anything that I want you to. We want clients to come to us for us. So when someone inquires with me, I have a few paragraph email explaining what I do and how I do it. As far as like connection, there's not a lot of smiling at the camera photos. Then I go into how long I've been in business, that I'm insured. You know, you want to show that, okay, this is a professional.
That's true, because it is true, unfortunately, that a lot of people who are only charging, you know, $100 for their sessions, they're not actually in real business or they're not insured.
Right.
So I think that does put people, takes that risk away. They know that they're in good hands.
Right. And then I even say that I've taken continuing education classes, things like that, to not even justify your pricing, but just to show them that you are a professional. Then I go on to talk about a little bit, if you want a book, 50% is due. And then I link them to a page on my website that is a non-published page that they can see it. That is basically a pricing guide, information guide type thing that I go, you know, it shows pictures, what to expect, when I shoot, yada, yada, yada. Then it has my pricing in it, kind of in the meat of the content.
So they're not seeing your pricing until they inquire.
Right.
Okay.
I do have it on my site, but most people don't look at it.
Yeah. So but you're making sure they know.
And making sure they know what time I shoot. They know I only shoot at sunset, blah, 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 blah. They know all that. So let's say they want a book. Now, I tell people, a lot of my students all the time, that communication is so key when you're a professional photographer, that I have workflow set up through my 17 hats that sends auto emails as well.
Love that.
Yes, which is so helpful. But say they book, I also style my clients.
So that's a big value that you're adding that goes into that price.
I style my clients. I don't actually technically style them myself. I use the Honey Tree Style and Select.
Wait, What is this?
Oh my God. You don't know about it?
No.
It's called Honey Tree Style and Select. These two photographer gals who are so talented, they started it. Basically, it's a curated, your clients fill out this questionnaire. They pick the color palette they want. And what kind, like they have a boho, what kind of style do you want? Boho, classic, or funky, you know, something like that. And it pulls several outfit choices for each person in your family. And then you just click on it and you can buy it. Right,
like it's
there.
Automatic?
Auto. It's so amazing.
Is that a subscription that you pay for them to have?
Pay for it.
Shut up. That's awesome.
It's like, $150 for the year.
Oh, wow. That's such a value that you're offering your clients.
So I send that 2 months ahead of time.
So what's it called again? I'll put the link in the show notes.
Yeah, it's called Honey Tree Style and Select.
That's sweet.
The website is just styleandselect.com, I believe.
Okay, awesome.
But it's, since I've been doing that, very little of my clients have showed up in ugly outfits.
This is like mind-blowing right now because
it's amazing.
It's just so, yeah, like, I've been giving more and more tips over the years and they've definitely been upping their game.
Right.
But even when I went to do family photos for my family, I was like, oh crap, I don't know. I would absolutely buy whatever someone told me
right.
to buy. Like,
it's
get this outfit.
Part. And I used it for my own family photos that we took recently. And it was so easy. But I send that about 2 months ahead of time because I want to open that conversation with my clients and get them thinking ahead. So I send it. And plus, when my clients pick out their outfits through it, it sends me an email of what they picked, which is awesome.
Wow.
So I can know what they've thought about. And then once they get their outfits, or if they just use that service just to get an idea of what looks good, even if they don't buy the things through there, you know, and that service has items from Amazon to Old Navy to like Anthropology. So there's a very wide range of like affordability and stuff in there. Yeah. So then I have them text, I send a reminder email and I have them text me their outfits like laid out ahead of time. So anyway, then I go on to sending them an email, a prep email. So in that there's a what to expect PDF of just kind of bullet points of, hey, you're going to be standing in grass. Hey, I'm going to be acting silly, like just things for them to remember. And then there's a prep email that tells them stuff that they need to bring for the session, that I'll have bugs, like things like that, you know, when to eat dinner that day. I will have a reward available for your child, like a lollipop. If you don't want your child to have it, let me know ahead of time. Because sometimes
smart.
That reward is what gets you through the session.
Sure. Yeah.
I carry Smarties with me during my session. If they need a little reward as we're going, I'm popping them in those kids' mouths.
That's amazing. Yeah. And again, yeah, asking them ahead of time. It's like, of course, just be prepared. I'm still so hung up on the styling because I was always like, oh gosh, I give tips, but I'm like,
well, you know,
I'm not a stylist, but
as a photographer, you want your clients to dress cohesive with your brand.
Yes, absolutely.
You don't want someone showing up in Crocs and a polo.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh,
so,
awesome. Yeah. So preparation, yeah. Telling them what to do, telling them what to wear. Like,
so
you,
by the time my clients come see me, they know.
Yeah. You're set up for success.
They know. Yeah.
Nice.
So
awesome.
They're just, they have that they know what expectations, what to expect ahead of time.
Sweet.
Huge key. Since I've been doing that, I've had very little problems.
Yeah, I can see how, just like that. Take that time, put that together. And I know you have some products that are going to help people actually do some of this. So why don't you tell everybody where they can find you?
Yeah, so my website, jessicaweinstockphotography.com/shop, or you can just click on the shop. I do sell prep guides that I just chatted about for family and newborn, studio and lifestyle for newborns. Because, you know, they're a little bit different. And I also sell a location guide, for my family sessions, I send them a location guide with about 12 to 15 different options of area locations with photos included. Because, you know, those are places I know the light well, I know the great locations. Of course, if the client has a suggestion, we can chat about it, you know, their backyard or whatever, we can talk about it. But this really helps the client so they don't have to think about a location. So I have a template for that. And then there's a couple other templates and guides, and I have some presets and stuff like that in there too.
Cool. And I know we talked about maybe setting up a coupon code or something.
Yeah. I will set up a coupon code for 25% off the total. Okay. And it'll be JWPFriends25.
JWPFriends25?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I'll put that on the show notes too, and I'll also email that out to everybody on the list so you can have cool. Be ready, yeah. And grab some of those and be prepared. Wow, this is awesome. Okay, just like every single individual tip, thank you so much for being so open and sharing so openly. And also tell everybody the Happy Togs community, can we find that?
So I run, along with Tracy, Tracy Joy Photography, we run the Happy Togs group. It's a community, it's worldwide, but it's mainly US based. And it's just a big community where we can talk about, you know, if you have questions about, you know, an issue, a problem client you need some advice with on how to word an email, things like that. It's just really, and we also have a Chicagoland one that we give referrals through. So for me, a big part of my business building it the way that it is now was a referral network. Having a couple photographers that you bounce referrals off if you're booked, or you don't want to do a newborn session, you have another photographer that you can refer to, and that has built my client base so much. So having some sort of community that you can bounce referrals with, or even just like the Happy Togs where you can just vent, or I know it's Happy Togs where we're happy, but
you're happier because you got it off your chest.
Yes, we're happy because we got it off our chest. But if you need a vent, or just, you know, have a question about, you know, constructive criticism or whatever, like, we're open book and it's a big community. So it's really helpful to be in. So if you want to be in it, just come join and we'll happy to have you.
So I think it's thehappytogs.com, right? And then on Facebook.
Well, yeah, there is a website, thehappytogs.com, but the Facebook group is the Happy Togs and then dash group. That's the main group.
Okay, that's the main community. Yeah. That's where it's at. Okay, awesome. And I'll put all those notes in the show notes at photofieldnotes.com. Go check it out. Again, Chess, thank you so much for sharing this so openly. So many great tips. I'm so grateful. And just thank you so much.
Thanks for listening. Check out show notes at photofieldnotes.com. And if you loved this episode, leave your review on iTunes. See you next week.